We are here this evening on the eve of Erev Yom Kippur, a day of Yom Mechila Slicha Chapara, a day where we will say Shehiyanu V'Kiyemanu V'Higiyanu Lazman Hazeh, because if our sins are truly forgiven, it is truly a Yom Simcha, a great day of Simcha. I'd like to begin with a story that I read from Rav Elimelech Biderman. The story goes as follows. Rav Yitzchak Tuvia Weiss Shlita, the Gavad of Yerushalayim, often tells the story of his younger years. He lived in the town of Pessing that was about 4 kilometers away from Pressburg. When the Germans entered his city, the Rosh HaKahal didn't know how to deal with the Nazis. He didn't know whether the community should listen to the Nazi demands or whether they should escape and seek to evade them. The Rosh HaKahal sent the young Rav Tuvia Weiss to Pressburg to take counsel from the Rosh HaKahal of Pressburg. The Rosh HaKahal of Pressburg told him that the situation was very bleak and that they needed Rachamei Shemayim. He also told him that the King of England sent a train to save 1,000 children, and he received 1,000 tickets to distribute. I don't know who to save and who has precedence over whom, but since you've come here, take a ticket and save yourself. Rav Tuvia gave over the report to the Rosh HaKahal of the city, and then he went home. He quickly packed his bags, said goodbye to his parents, and went to the transport. Before long, he was in England with 1,000 other children. The king wanted to see with his own eyes the 1,000 children that he saved. So they lined up the children in the streets, and the children stood on both sides of the road, and the king drove between them. Rav Tuvia Weiss says that standing next to him was a courageous boy. When the king's chariot came near, this boy jumped into the king's chariot. The king's servants wanted to send the boy off, but the king said that he wants to hear what the child has to say. The child thanked the king for kindly saving so many children. The child said, "But it upsets me that the king's compassion isn't perfect because I left behind my parents and family. How can I be happy with my salvation when I'm worried about the plight of my parents and family?" The king asked him for his parents' address. 2 weeks later, his parents and all his extended family came to England. Rav Tuvia Weiss makes the following speculation. If the king was in his castle, this child wouldn't be able to speak to the king. But now that the king is traveling, he was able to come close to the king and plead for the lives of his parents. This is exactly what takes place in Elul and Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. When Hashem is close to us, as it states, Tirshu Hashem b'matzeo kera'u b'yirto karov, perhaps the entire year we aren't able to come close to Hashem, but now we can, and therefore we have a special power of tefillah. Also contemplate the following. 999 children remained by their place. They didn't take advantage of the king's appearance. Only one child didn't let this opportunity slip away. See how much he gained by that. Let us do the same. Now when we are near Hashem, behim matze'o, we can accomplish so much with our tefillot. It is an amazing story of a little boy who took the opportunity to pounce on the king when the king was found. Should we not do the same thing? We are here now approaching the last 2 days of Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, tomorrow and Wednesday. Deshu Hashem Mimatzeo, seek out God when he is found. Hashem is here. Hashem is close. It's time for us to take the opportunity. If not now, then when? With this being said, I'd like to go on and elaborate a little bit on the story that we read on Yom Kippur by Mincha. We all know that on Yom Kippur Mincha, we read Yonah. There's a custom to pay a lot of money for Yonah. Don't know where the source is, but it's worth paying all that money to learn the lesson of Yonah. Who was Yonah? Yonah was a young boy who Eliyahu Navi brought back to life. Yonah, Hazal tell us that he was a Tzaddik Gamur. The Midrash Yerushalmi says, Yonah ben Amitai, Navi Emet Hayah. There's only one other mention of Yonah in all of Tanakh. The Mishnat Rabbi Eliezer says, Yonah Shakul ke Eliyahu. Yonah was equal to Eliyahu HaNavi. And Yonah is mentioned, it's one of the Sefanim in Treasar. Treasar is the 12 prophets spanning 350 years of prophecy. Very little is known about Yonah, says Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Yes, he was the little boy who was brought back to life by Eliyahu Navi. He was the son of a widow. The entire book of Yonah consists of only 48 Pesukim. What happened in the story of Yonah? Yonah, and why do we read it on Yom Kippur, and why by Mincha? Yonah was ordered by Hashem to go to a city of Nineveh, Tanshen Nineveh, to go to get them, warn them that their city is going to be turned over should they not repent and do Teshuvah. This was a city of Goyim. Yonah refused with good intention. What was Yonah's thought? Should the Goyim of Nineveh repent, it would be a bad reflection on the Jews who weren't so good themselves. Yonah meant well, the Mechilta says, but Yonah was wrong. To defend the honor of the child, which was Am Yisrael, rather than the honor of the father, which was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does Yonah do? He decided to flee from Eretz Yisrael because Hashem doesn't reveal himself outside of Eretz Yisrael, and he would not have any other nevuah. He hears about a ship that's leaving to Tarshish. Tarshish is the city of Tunis in ancient Spain, beyond the Rock of Gibraltar. We all know the story. Yonah sets out. There are many seamen on the ship. And all of a sudden, there is a tremendous, terrible, terrible storm. Yonah tries to disappear. And what happens? These seamen decide to cast lots, vayipilu goralot, to see whose fault this storm is. Is that what you do in the middle of a storm when a ship is being tossed from side to side? We cast lots? Why? The Malbim says that they saw all the other ships in the ocean were calm. Only their ship was in a storm. They said that obviously there is somebody on this ship who we're having a problem with. After the lots fell out on Yonah, they asked him, Hagidana lanu ba'asher lemi hara azot. In regard to whom has this calamity befallen us? Hagidana lanu ba'asher lemi hara azot. Ma melachtech ume'ayin tavo. Ma arzech ve'ime eze amata. They asked him four questions. They said to him, what is your work? What is your trade? Where did you come from? What is your country? Which nation are you part of? Vayomer alehem, Ivri anochi. An answer to all these questions were, I am a Jew. V'tashem Elohe HaShamayim ani yareh. And I fear the God of heaven. Imagine, they ask you what your trade is, where are you from, where do you live, and he says, Ivri anochi, ve'et Hashem Elohe HaShamayim ani yareh. That was his trade. Et Hashem Elohe HaShamayim ani yareh. This was the tzaddik Yonah. What happens in the story? You all know that the sea will not rest. They didn't want to throw Yonah overboard, but they had no choice. Yonah tells them, lower me down. They lower him down, and the sea calms. Yonah ultimately gets swallowed up by the dog, and in that dog he does teshuvah, and he cries to Hashem, and he gets spit up. And once again, Hashem commands him and demands that he goes to Tarshish. And he goes, and he tells them that God is going to overturn this land, going to overturn this city if you don't repent. And from the Melech to the beast, everybody repented, everybody did Teshuvah. And what does the story say? Vayera Elyona Ra'a Gedula. This greatly displeased Yonah. Yonah was full of grief that they did Teshuvah. Why is that? Did he not accomplish his mission? You know why? Because Am Yisrael did not heed to the Navi, and now they look bad compared to Nineveh, and he felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to destroy Am Yisrael. And Yonah says to Hashem, Kach na et nafshi mimeni. Take my soul from me. I want to die. Ki tov moti mechayai. I'd rather prefer death. It's better for me death than to live and to see Am Yisrael destroyed. This was his love for Am Yisrael. As great as a tzaddik as Yonah was, he made one big mistake. He thought he could run away from Hashem. There's no running. There is no hiding. There is no negotiating. The only thing we have is Teshuvah. Nothing else. Rav Moshe Amiel writes about Sefer Yonah that a whole Sefer in Tanakh is written on this one event. Obviously, it was something remarkable. What's so astonishing? That Yonah tried to actually flee from God. In Yonah's entire life, he ran away from God but once, one time, and it's recorded for eternity. We run away from Hashem every day. Every day. What was the end of this story? Yonah is grief-stricken. He feels terrible. And Hashem is upset with Yonah. And Hashem, Yonah is sitting out in the heat. And Hashem makes for him a kikayon, a plant to give him shade. And it says that Yonah rejoiced greatly in this kikayon. The next day, Hashem brought a worm. God designated a worm the next day, and it attacked the kikayon, and the kikayon withered. And now what happened? The pasuk says, Vayhi kizroah hashemesh, vayman Elohim ruach kadim, harishit vatach hashemesh arosh Yonah. What happened? The sun shone. Hashem designated a stifling east wind, and the sun beat on Yonah's head, and he felt faint. And then again, Yonah says, "Vayishal et nafsho lamut, vayomer tov moti mehayai. Better is my death than life." What happens at the end? "Vayomer Elohim el Yonah, ha'hetev hara lecha la'kikayon." Hashem says to him, "You took pity on the kikayon." You took pity on the kikayon. You didn't toil for it. Velo gidalto, nor did you grow it. Shebin laila haya ubin laila avad. It lived one night and it perished after one night. Vani and me, God, lo achus al nivah. Should I not have mercy on the city of Nineveh, Ha'ira Gedolah, this great city, Asher Yeshba Harbe Mishtem Esre Ribo Adam, that has in it 120,000 people, Asher Lo Yada Ben Yemino Lismono, where they don't know between right and left, Ubehema Rabba, and many animals as well? That's the end of the story. Rabotai, what happened to Yonah? That's it. Did Yonah feel bad? Did Yonah do Teshuvah? What happened here? The Torah does not record Yonah's response, but the Yalkut Shemoni gives a moving conclusion. And he says, Bo'otasha, at that moment, after Hashem rebuked Yonah, Nafal al panav, he fell on his face, Va'amar, Hanheg olamecha b'midat rahamim. Continue to conduct your world according to the attribute of mercy. Tichtiv lamonai Eloheinu arachamim vasilihot. To Hashem, our God, our mercy and forgiveness. Rabotai, it pays to study Yonah, to learn the lesson of Yonah. The great lesson of Yonah is You can't run away from God. He had it all figured out. I'm going to run to Tarshish. Over there I can't have Nevuah. I'll stay there for the rest of my life, and nothing will happen to the Jews. Hashem will leave them. But if Nineveh does Teshuvah, it's going to be a bad reflection on the Jews. What a mistake Yonah made to think that he could run away from Hashem. We can never, ever, ever run away from Hashem. Ever. We go on in this week's parasha in Ha'azinu. In Ha'azinu, it says the following. Tzur yeladecha teshi. Tzur yeladecha teshi. The rock who gave birth to you, you forgot. And then immediately it says, Vatishkach el meholeleka. And you forgot Hashem who brought you forth. This is an obvious redundancy. Tzur yeladecha teshi. You forgot the rock who gave birth to you. Vatishkach el meholeleka. And you forgot Hashem who brought you forth. It's the same thing. Now, listen carefully. Among the many gifts that Hashem has endowed man with is the power of shekhah, to forget. In life, one is confronted with many hardships, sufferings, trials, and tribulations. Through shekhah, one is able to forget and move on with his life. Moshe Rabbeinu said to the people, Tzur yeladecha, the rock who gave birth to you, Teshi, has instilled in you the gift of shekhah. The problem is, Vatishkach el meholeleka, you use the gift to forget Hashem. We can't forget Hashem. Rabotai, there's a famous parable about this. There was a fellow who owed a lot of money to many creditors, and the creditors were driving him crazy, and they were threatening him, and he didn't know what to do. So he went to a friend, and he said to the friend, what should I do? These creditors are driving me crazy. So the friend told him, listen, the next time they come to you, make believe you're crazy. Act crazy. Jump up and down. Stand on your head. Scream like a hyena. Jump, yell, run. And they'll say, you know what? He lost his mind. Forget it. I'm going to never get my money. And he did it. Every time a creditor said, he hated him, he acted crazy. And the creditor ran away. This is a crazy man. There's nothing I could do. Well, the person who gave him the idea, his friend, went to him one day for the loan that he gave him. And he said to him, listen, you know, you owe me money. When am I going to get it from you? So he started acting crazy. So the friend said, hey, you can't pull that on me. I gave you the idea. Hashem Kebeyachol is saying, I gave you shekhah, but don't use it on me. What does this tell us? Shiviti Hashem lenigdi tamid. I place Hashem before me always. Is it possible to place Hashem before us always? When we wake up in the morning, when we go to davening, when we go to work, when we're amongst our business peers, when we're doing business, when we're shopping, is it possible? Shiviti Hashem lenigdi tamid. Well, allow me to tell you the following story. Rav Aaron Cutler, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, his wife lived for many years after him. When she was in Maimonides Hospital, and she was a Gosset, and she was on a respirator, Rebbetzin Rishel was there with her in the room, sitting by her side. Along came a Beis Yaakov girl with a cart to do chesed, to go from room to room offering people cookies, coffee, maybe a magazine. And this girl saw a from woman sitting there. And she decided she's going to go in and ask her if she needs anything. She asked Rebbetzin Rishel, would you like, she didn't know who she was, would you like a cup of coffee, tea, drink? And then she refused, said, no, thank you. And then she said to the girl, tell me, would you like to experience something unbelievable? She goes, what is it? She says, this woman here on the respirator is Rav Aaron Cutler's Rebbetzin. Did you daven mincha yet today? She said, no. She says, well, I'd like you to daven mincha with my mother-in-law, and I'd like you to hold her hand and whisper the davening in her ear and see what happens. The girl was astonished. She was in awe. Whenever she mentioned Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei in the davening, the Rebbetzin squeezed her hand. While the Rebbetzin is in a coma, she's comatose, the girl is davening, and every time she said Yud Ke Vav Ke, she squeezed her hand. Rabbi said, what is that? That's Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. I place Hashem before me always. It's possible. If we work on it, if we remember Hakaturi Ladecha Teshi, if we remember Hashem is there and he's always there and there's no running away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's possible to have Shivite Hashem Lenigdi Tamid. Tomorrow night we will be spending 25 hours in a Yom Mechilah Slichah Chapara. 25 hours. This was a day that was given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to study our sins. All year long, we're busy, we're running, we're doing, we're eating. We have no time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes one day and says, stop! Stop! No eating, no working, no running. It's a day to study our Averot. A great and glorious day to study our Averot. Once again, Kol ha'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran Mevater Al Hayav. Whoever says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forfeits on his sins, he is forfeiting his life. There is no such thing. Every avon, small and big, is recorded. Every avon needs teshuvah to be done on it. Kol ha'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran Mevater Al Hayav. Yom Kippur is a day to study our Averot. All year long, we have no time to stop. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and tells us, stop, stop, no more. We make a beracha. Melech mohel v'soleach la'avonotenu v'la'avonot amo Yisrael. Melech, the king, who is going to be mohel v'soleach our sins and avonot of Amo Yisrael. We are brazen enough to make that beracha, and we believe that it will not be a beracha levatala. If we have a proper teshuvah, it will not be a beracha in vain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu absolutely will forgive us, but we have to utilize this day properly. We have to sit and study our Averot, and not only lip service when we say the vidui, but this vidui should be a sincere vidui. The whole concept of Aser Yemei Teshuvah is to approach Hashem with rachamim. No negotiating. We're not negotiating for our Averot. We know they're there. In Tzadik Ba'aretz Asher Lo Chata. And we have to do teshuvah on these averot. We're not here to negotiate. Sur mera v'aseh tov. Isn't that the same thing? Sur mera v'aseh tov? Absolutely not. It's not enough sur mera. You need aseh tov. We need to understand that sur mera is not enough. A person has to have aseh tov. And this is the time for aseh tov. Now, the next 2 days, I heard Rabbi Waxman tell over about the Hatam Sofer, his Erev Yom Kippur. Rabotai, it's frightening. He said over that the Hatam Sofer was in his room, Erev Yom Kippur, preparing for Erev Yom Kippur. And his son-in-law opened the door, maybe unintentionally. And from what he saw, he fainted. He saw a pillar of fire standing next to the Hatam Sofer. And when the man came to, his son-in-law, the Hatam Sofer asked him, did you see something? Did you see the... He says, yes, yes. He says, I had a guest. Who did you see? He says, I saw a pillar of fire. And he told them it was Eliyahu Hanavi. He had Gilyon Eliyahu on Erev Yom Kippur. He went to the mikveh. His chassidim carried him back. They couldn't look at him. Spears of fire coming out of his eyes. This was the kiddushah of the Hatam Sofer. And you know what he did on that day? He said he's not ready for Yom Kippur. He's not ready for Yom Kippur. He called a yeshiva bacha from the yeshiva to his home, an exceptional bacha, and he said, I want to make a shidduch today with you and a yesayma. She has no father. And the boy looked at the Chassam Sofer and he says, how? I have no money and she has no money. The Hatam Sofer told him, I promise you ashirut if you will marry this yetoma. In those days, people used to listen to the rabbi. He agreed. And he made the shidduch on Erev Yom Kippur. And the Chassam Sofer announced, now I can go into Yom Kippur. Now I can go into Kal Nidre because I did this chesed on Erev Yom Kippur. The Chassam Sofer, he saw Eliyahu HaNavi on Erev Yom Kippur. He had a gilyon Eliyahu HaNavi. People couldn't look at him from the shine that was coming from him. And no, it wasn't enough. He needed to do a chesed. Rabotai, sud mera v'aseh tov. It's not enough sud mera. We have to go into Yom Kippur with an aseh tov. If there's anything a person could do, a chesed, he should do it on this day, on Erev Yom Kippur. Help somebody. Maybe you know an almana that needs a phone call. Somebody that needs some money for yontif. Whatever it may be, today is a day, and a glorious day to do a chesed. Because we're going to be sud mera. We're going to leave our averot. But v'aseh tov, we also have to do aseh tov. Again, there'll be no negotiating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We come forward and we say, Hatati. Hatati, we sinned. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're here. We're going to spend 25 hours in nitemet nafshotechem. No eating, no drinking, whatever it takes to get through this day. And Bezrat Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us that Yom Mechilal Sechapara. Rabotai, remember, tomorrow night, by Kal Nidre, we're going to say Shehiyanu v'kiyimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh, this great, glorious day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. No other king ever granted his subjects such a gift like Yom Kippur. All year long you sinned against me, you insulted me, you spit on me, and all I want from you is come these 10 days and do tshuva. Come to a real Yom Kippur and I forgive you. What a gift. No other king ever granted his subject such a gift. We should be zocher bezrat Hashem to a true Yom Mehilal Uslicha Uchapara and look forward to a year of everything good bezrat Hashem. Teskul eshlim rabot, ne'imot v'tovot, ketiva v'hatima tova. Amen.